May be seated. Take your Bible, turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, we'll look at one verse tonight. We'll use our Bibles a little bit, but I want to teach tonight on the recipe for right thinking. I'd be glad if anybody just thought. But the recipe for right thinking, and I think that tonight could be a help to you. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. I want you to notice that last little phrase there, think on these things. What are these things? These things are things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report. It is those things on which we are to think about that give us good thinking. And I want to help you tonight, if you'll listen to me. There's an old saying, you are what you eat. God knows that means I'm a big person. I'd like to change that scripturally. You are what you think. You see, the Bible says in Romans 12, 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, it is the renewing of the mind that keeps Christians different than the world. Did you know that the mentality of the church is supposed to be different than the world? The word church itself, a called out assembly. We have too many churches that are trying to be like the world, to reach the world. God says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Churches have the wrong thinking. They're trying to appeal to man and not trying to appeal to God. I'd rather please God than please man any day. Can I tell you something? Churches have wrong thinking today. They use the wrong thought processes. Now, God knows, because we're sinners, that our minds are damaged, tainted, influenced, and even limited by sin. Sin causes our brains to think contrary to God. Listen to this. If we, like the lost world, let our minds go, We will allow sin into the church in our own life and excuse it, saying it's okay because it's me. You give yourself long enough, you can reason any wrong into doing it yourself. God knew our minds. He made them. He knew what sin would do to our minds. He saw what it did to Satan. And he knew what sin would do to a mind. God also gives us a recipe to tell us how we are supposed to think and how to have good thinking. Philippians 4:8, in my opinion, ought to be one of those verses that every Christian memorizes. It ought to be a verse that is glued everywhere you go. It ought to be in the forefront of your mind. Now, let me give you the six ingredients. They are things that are true, things that are honest, things that are just, things that are pure, things that are lovely, and things that are of good report. Those are the six ingredients, and I'm going to jump right into them. And I think that if you'll listen tonight, I can help you. First of all, God says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. That word true means worthy of credit, credibility. It literally means the gospel truth. God says that one of the things that we ought to think on is things that are true, the gospel truth. That eliminates the news. We're not to think on speculation. We're not to think on things that are propagandizing the news. We're not supposed to think on theory only, like evolution. Evolution is not a science. Amen. It breaks all the laws of science. Right. It doesn't even follow the scientific method to become science. And yet, you're called a bumbling idiot if you don't believe in it. Who calls you the bumbling idiot? People that don't believe in truth. Now, hang on. Hollywood is not truth. We ought not spend our time thinking about it. There are people that live for the next television show. I've got to see it. If you're that addicted, you're in trouble. Now, I'm going to give you something personal. I don't personally read any fiction books because they're not true. I am not saying they're sinful. If you read fiction books, you're not a dirty, wicked, filthy, rotten sinner going to hell because of it. You're a dirty, wicked, rotten, filthy sinner because you're a sinner. I don't read fiction books because I have to consume so much truth to feed God's people that I don't read fiction. I haven't read a fiction book in 40 years or more. Literally. I just don't read them. I may have read a few of the kids' books to them when they were kids, you know, My Nest is Best and Where's the Socks and Dr. Seuss and, you know, all those things. And I didn't even read many of Dr. Seuss' books because he was a kook. He was one of these globalists that wanted an agenda, and he was part of the climate change people, the originals of them. Most of his books were about it. And destruction of the woods, the trees, the truffle trees, and all that stuff. Green Eggs and Ham, that was about World War II and Uncle Sam. Sam I Am, Green Eggs and Ham. It was a mockery of World War II and Uncle Sam and the United States troops having to eat powdered eggs that turn green. That's exactly what Green Eggs and Ham's all about, just so you know. Preacher, where do you learn all these things? You got to do some studying. So there are some things I just don't read, all right? I read a lot of biographies. And honestly, mostly I read autobiographies. I'm not really interested in what somebody else has to say about somebody. I'm interested in what they have to say about themselves and how they think themselves. I'm more interested in those types of things. Say why? Because those are the truths that are needed. I read a lot of books about different leaders in history, some good, some not good. I read some leaders that, in my opinion, weren't leading people to the right direction, find out what they did so that I avoid that. I have a couple books in my library right now on Adolf Hitler. You say, why? Because I'm watching people in America do the same thing as Adolf Hitler did. And it's not Donald Trump. It's the people accusing him of being Adolf Hitler that are Adolf Hitler-ish. Gossip is not truth. Don't think on it. We need to think on the truths of the Word of God. The Bible says, "Thy word is truth, O Lord." That means we ought to think about the scripture. We ought to think about the truths of God's blessings in our lives and on our lives. See, we ought to think about the truths of the Word of God so that as we go through the day, our mind is focused on truth and not error. Let me say this as nicely as I know how. The United States media is trying to focus people on things that are not true. To the point where the President of the United States in the Rose Garden this afternoon had to get up and threaten the American people not to tear down statues of white Jesus. Folks, this is getting pretty bad. I don't care what color he was. His earthly body was Jewish. Go find a common Jewish person. That's what he was. Does it really matter what color skin he had? Why should we tear it down? Because that's your anti-God people. Your Antifa and your anti-God people. Your mob mentality do not want God. Let's get rid of this Jesus person. He offends. Isn't it amazing how at the name of Jesus it still offends? I love it. I love it. I love it. In other words, we need to think about truth. This country is way out of whack.
That's
Rhode Island is the governor of Rhode Island considering renaming the state because it's offensive. They're trying to petition the city of Columbus, Ohio, to change its name because Christopher Columbus was an evil man. Let's change the name. Folks, let's get back to reality. We ought to think on truth. Truth is the issue. If more people would focus on truth, we wouldn't have the mob mentality right now. And I'm just going to go ahead and say it. If more preachers would preach the truth and quit pandering to the world and acting like the world, the preachers could get up and settle this thing a little bit. I thank God for some of my black brethren who've gotten up in some of these areas and had street meetings preaching the snot out of some of these idiots. Say, why? I go for it, brother. I'll come down and preach with you. I'll stand beside you. I'll bring my gun and protect you. Preach away, and then I'll give you my gun, and I'll get up and preach. I have no problem with it. I'm for the men of God that have enough backbone to stand up against this mess. Even if I don't agree with a ruling in court, it's not an excuse to go out and destroy everything and take away all of American history. Everybody doing okay? All right. So we ought to think on things that are true. Think on the Word of God. The Word of God is truth. Think on the blessings of God, what you've seen God do in your life. Hey, those are truths. See how God has worked in your life and in your family. That is truth. I've got to hurry. Things that are true. Second of all, things that are honest. That word honest is a very interesting word. You say, well, it's the same as true. No, it's not. The word honest means serious, grave, meaning not dead grave, but serious or sober-mindedness, dignified, or it literally means honor and respect. In other words, think on things that are serious or worthy of honor and worthy of respect. Take your Bible, turn all the way back to Genesis chapter 4. That's at the very beginning. Brother Lopez, you can even find that one. Genesis chapter 4, look at verse number 5. I'm going to show you something here. You know the story of Cain and Abel. Let me start in verse number 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. She bare again his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Notice, by this time they were adults. They weren't children. They weren't teenagers. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Ooh, was he to bring an offering of plants and plants, or was he to bring a blood sacrifice? Blood sacrifice. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of the flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had, what's the next word? Respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said, Cain, why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, thou hast not been accepted. If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and thee shall his desire be to rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against his brother and slew him. Say, why? Because God had not respect for Cain's offering. Now, wait a minute. Cain brought an offering, didn't he? He did, but he brought the wrong one. He did not obey God. Now, God did not have respect. Cain was not being honest with God. Cain was telling God, God, you have to accept what I choose to give you, and because I gave it to you. I'm not going to take my goods, sell it, and give it to my brother to buy a lamb just to give back to you. If you don't like what I have, too bad, so sad. God said, Cain, I don't have respect for it, but if you'll just open the door, there's a sin offering lying there it's crouched, ready to jump into your arms. All you have to do is open the door, and I'll give you the sacrifice. Reminds me of the book of Revelation. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and will open, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. God even had the sacrifice available for Cain. Cain said, God, my way or no way. And Cain went out and killed his brother. Now, Cain did bring something to God. And it probably was the best that he had. But it was still the wrong offering. Cain did not obey God. In other words, his best was not good enough. Sometimes what we want to give God, even though it's our best, is not God's way. Somebody recently asked me, some of these preachers and denominations that preach wrong doctrine. I don't think they realize they preach wrong doctrine. I think they're sincere. They're just sincerely wrong. I think it's a waste of good people. I picked up a preacher at the airport one time, and it's always fun when you pick up a Baptist preacher and the whole plane load is nothing but Catholic priests. He was the only non-Catholic on the plane. I said, all these guys come walking out. He said, I have flown almost 1,000,000 miles preaching. He said, I've never seen so much liquor flow as I did on this flight. He said, they didn't have the little bottles. They just brought out the big stuff. I said, man. And I as they walked off, I walked behind them and I was with him. And I said, boy, what a lot of wasted potential that is. A lot of those people are very sincere, but they're sincerely wrong. They honestly think they're doing good because it's the good they can do, but it's not God's way. God wants obedience more than he wants sacrifice. 1 Samuel 15:22 says, it's better to obey than to sacrifice. God said he would rather have obedience than you sacrifice. Wow. We should think on the truths of the Bible to obey, not our hurt feelings. We ought to think about truth instead of our hurt. We ought to think of truth rather than our grief. We ought to think of truth more than what somebody else has done to me. That's what Psalm 19 verse 14 says. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God, my Redeemer. Psalm 119:97 says, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. My meditation. What is meditation? Thinking. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. My heart is the seat of my emotions. So let what my emotions dwell on be acceptable in God's sight. Not how am I going to get back at so-and-so. Not how bad this event in life has hurt me. No, let me think on truth. God wants our thinking to be serious. We play way too much. I'm for play. I'm for enjoying things in life. But we play an awful lot more than we know. Some of you ought to track how much time you waste on your phone playing games. I'll promise you, I know this is true. I've had a cell phone for, good night, oh, I guess 20 plus years. I think I got my first one when I worked in South Carolina in 1995. That's when they first started to become even remotely possible. You know, I went from a pager to that, you know. And the only reason I had the pager is because my wife was pregnant and had a... there was no way to get a hold of me sometimes because I'd be out soul winning, out doing this, out doing that. And she had to be able to get a hold of me. Now, wait a minute. Watch this. Do you know in all those years of owning a cell phone, I have never one time played a game on my phone. Not one time. To me, I'm not going to get into a habit of playing a game when I can be using my time for something else. If I've got time to play a game, I got time to open up my Bible and work on a sermon. If I got time to do that, it would shock you if you charted somehow time, every time you put a game on, how many hours a day you spend playing games. If you would take that time and put verses on 3x5 cards and start memorizing them, you probably wouldn't get in as much trouble and have as many faults as you have. Keep your New Testament with you and start reading through the Bible rather than playing games. We ought to think about truth, not some game, squashing some bug or crushing some piece of candy or exploding something or whatever. I know what some of the names of the games are, but I look at these things thinking, there are educated people that spend a lot of time doing this. Why? Just for the excitement of on screen. Okay, that really doesn't motivate me. We spend way too much time playing. Okay. How much time do you play computer games? Some of you have more money wrapped up in computer games and internet stuff and gadgets and gadgets and widgets and stuff. You'd be shocked how much money you have wasted, and you'll wonder why your family doesn't want to talk to you. How about we read or memorize scripture instead? Okay, quit meddling. Let's go back to teaching. So, things that are true, things that are honest. Number three, things that are just. The word just means equitable, fair, or righteous. This may mean not thinking on something because there's no evidence on which to think yet. Just thinking requires you sometimes not to think about something. What's the guy's name that got killed by the officer in Minneapolis? George Floyd, is that his name? I've read it in the news. Now, just so you know, I've not seen the video. I've not watched the news. I don't think about it. I really don't. When people started rioting, I thought, what in the world are people rioting? But nobody even knows yet what happened. Well, I saw a video. Yeah, I saw that with Rodney King, too. We watched what L.A. happened to L.A. for 3 weeks, too, and they burned buildings down 7 blocks from my house. You saw a portion of a video. You didn't see it all. And you don't have all the information yet. What are we doing thinking about it? Has there been a trial yet? Has all the information come out from both sides yet? Then what are we thinking about it? We don't have enough information to think justly yet. Oh, I'm sure when it does hit the, oh, they'll have their cameras on the news, on the courtroom, and they're going to give you what they want you to hear about what's happening in the courtroom, and there are going to be people who change sides, people who get upset, people who fight again, because they still don't have all the information. How about we wait till the very end and then we decide to think about it? I have chosen not to think about it, and I don't. I don't read about it. When I see something in the news about it, I read my news so I don't have to listen to some guy's opinion about it. I skip it. I don't even go to it. I don't even read it. I am not forming an opinion about it. That's called just thinking. Sometimes it requires you not to think about something. But when you do think on something, it's only thinking on the facts without emotion. Justice requires no emotion. If you think on something and it gets you angry, guess what? Maybe you ought not think about those things. Most of you don't know you well enough to know what makes you angry. Do you have a list of things that you know if you think about it, it's going to make you angry? Some of you don't know what makes your spouse angry. And you wonder why they get angry at the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over again. Because you're too stubborn to stop and realize you keep pushing the same button every time. Everybody doing all right? After 31 years of marriage, I can say there are certain things you just don't cross the line over. It didn't take me 31 years to learn it either. You know, you punch somebody in the nose and you know what the response is going to be. Why do you want to keep punching them in the nose? But some of you, you do the same thing over and over and over and over and over and keep getting the same result over and over and over. And you wonder why the same result happens. Maybe the common denominator is you, not the other person. So things that are just. This is making sure that everyone is treated the same or has the same opportunity. I'm going to get very personal. I could get in trouble. Recently, we had a wedding here. Just happened to be that it was my daughter's. Well, they got engaged back in July of last year. Well, here at the church, I have a handbook for anybody that wants to do a wedding here. I have a handbook. It's probably 20, 25 pages long. It's got all the things that you ever need to think about for a wedding, everything that needs done, all the requests that need made, all the approvals that need done, all that stuff. And I hand it. Well, before I could even put it in my daughter's hands, she was had this thing planned. And she was so far down the road that she violated one of the major things in the wedding handbook. And I said, that's not going to happen. You got to change it. And my wife came to me, she said, but we've already asked this person. I said, well, you're going to have to unask them. You asked them, you unask them. I'm not doing it. I said, y'all got ahead of me. I told you, don't ask people to do anything. Get it approved first. So they unasked. That didn't sit real well. I did it as pastor. As a dad, I wanted her to have what she wanted. As pastor, there's rules in place, and we're following rules, and I don't care what the last name is. Everybody doing all right? There were two or three other things with the wedding. I said, no. But Daddy, I said, don't care what your last name is. It's not changing for you because I'm not changing it for somebody else a year from now or 2 years from now or 10 years from now. This is what the rule is. We're following the rule. But this is what I want. I said, then change what you want. Because I'm not changing. He said, you're stubborn. Yes. Because I'm going to make sure that when it's your family, you have the same treatment and you have the same opportunity and we have the same things to be able to get done. It's not fair for my daughter to do it and your child not to be able to do it. It's all on paper. I don't have to make the decision again. We thought through everything that needed done virtually for a wedding and said, now, let's follow this. I mean, down to dresses being inspected and making sure that they're modest and who's doing the music and the music approval and all that kind of stuff and decorations and who's decorating, who's undecorating, what are the decorations going to be, how much stuff needs to be moved, who's in charge of that. I mean, it's just... Say why? Because I want to make sure everybody has the same experience with that. Does that make sense to everybody? That's called just thinking. And I don't have to revisit it. When I was excited that it was my daughter's, I didn't have to sit down and say, I wonder what the rules are. No. What does the book say? Let's follow what it says. Well, what about this? I don't know. Let me look it up. And if it was contrary, no. Several times I had to tell my daughter no. And I did. Not because I'm mean, but that's what the rule said, and I don't give a rip what the last name is. Just like if it's you and you want something that's contrary to it, I'm going to say, no, sorry. Can't do that. It's in there. And by the way, it's pretty broad in there. It's not as tight as you think it is. But there are just certain things. I think one of the things she wanted was lit candles down the aisle. No, that ain't going to happen. You can get the little LED ones and it's a whole lot safer. We're not burning the building down because somebody tripped over them, all right? Well, they're going to be in water. Yeah, my luck, the water will dry up and the whole building catches on fire. We're not doing it, all right? Just certain things that weren't going to be done, you know? And it didn't change anything. They are no less married because I said no. Not one thing in that wedding does anybody know outside my wife and me and my daughter that I said no to. Nobody. And guess what? They're married, and I think they're still in love. She hadn't killed him yet. So things that are just, that means it's the same for everybody. There are some things I don't do because if I can't do it for everybody, I won't do it at all. By the way, this isn't thinking when somebody's accused of something. Don't think on an accusation. Think on truth. It's not thinking about past guilt. If somebody's been guilty of something in the past, quit thinking about it. It's past. Some of you bring up what happened 40 years ago every time you get upset. Or 20 years ago, or 10 years ago, or 5 years ago. Guess what? It doesn't matter if it was an hour ago. It shouldn't be brought back up. This is a different situation. Justice requires each situation, not the longevity of how long ago they did this. Amen, preacher. Number 4, things that are pure. This is the word abstinence, chaste, modest, innocent, blameless. This means morally clear thinking. We ought not think on the sexual perversion of our day. Everybody doing okay? I thank God that we had a wedding where both young people were virgins, and that's not a dirty word. It's the way it ought to be. I'm glad their first kiss was as bad as it was. It means they hadn't been practicing a whole lot. Everybody doing all right? You say, what is that? I spent 22 years teaching that girl, keep your hands off and stay away and keep your lips off. Now they're up here and they're shaking like this. Okay, put the ring on his hand. We're allowed to touch. Yeah, today's time to touch. You say, why? Trying to teach pure thinking. We need to be careful not to see sexually explicit things. Advertising, video games, TV in Hollywood. And I'm talking about the Marvel comic movies with the skin-tight clothing. Just because they're clothed from chin to toe, it's spray-painted on. It's as indecent as if they were running around naked. It's just a different color. What makes that right? Everybody doing all right? Somebody come to church that way, you'd be upset. Think about your own spouse, not somebody else's. That's pure thinking. That's chaste thinking. I've got to hurry. Things that are lovely. That's my wife. The word lovely means friendly, amicable, grateful, acceptable. This is things that are friendly, things that are good-natured, so to speak. That's what the word amicable means. Okay, let me give you a pet peeve. There's no such thing as constructive criticism. Criticism is criticism. That's not lovely. Critical thinking is dangerous to our society. You want to know why we have destruction in America? Because we've been teaching critical thinking in America for 40 years. I love you. Why is it that somebody can bring something to you and all you can see is the fault in it? So all you can see is what won't work. All you can see is how you would do it different. How about you say, that's very nice. That's very good. Do you think that's going to work? You know, when you make wings on an airplane out of lead, do you think it's going to work? Well, you might not work, but let them figure it out for themselves. Instead of saying, oh, that's terrible. Some of you destroy your children and their abilities because you say, oh, they colored me a picture, but they didn't stay in the lines. How about you take the fact that they tried? Eventually, they'll get in the lines. You know, I finally figured it out by the time I was 40. As long as there was paper on the crayon so I could read what color was supposed to be. Just because it's not the way you would do it doesn't mean it is wrong. Quit looking for the bad, the faulty, in everything that's brought to you. If all you do, by the way, there are people, your job is nothing but looking for fault. Be careful you don't do that with your family. I know a person, they work in security work for computers. They have just about destroyed their family because everything they do is conspiracy mentality. Because all they do, they're paid to hack computer systems for the government to see if they can break into them. So everything they do is behind the scenes, sneaky, and it's transferred into their real life because they spend so much time trying to break through being deceptive. Be careful thinking that way in real life. God wants us to think about being friendly, not having friends. Let me make that statement again. God wants you to think about being friendly, not having friends. Proverbs 18:24. He that hath friends must show himself friendly. Ooh. There are people in this room, you are so concerned about having a friend that you've got to have a good friend. Why? How about you just be friendly with everybody? Friendliness is satisfied in giving, not getting. You want a friend instead of you wanting to be a friend. Friendship is giving and happy. It does not need reciprocated or returned. I am friendly with people who are not friendly with me. My wife and I were leaving our subdivision tonight, and there was a lady walking her dog. And with everybody, especially in my subdivision, I wave at everybody, and I use all my fingers and smile. Well, she was walking her dog tonight. And I waved. And she went, my wife said, she's in a good mood. I said, I am. Didn't bother me. I didn't let her bad mood get me upset. Not my wife, that other lady. Thought I better clarify that one. I'm not about to let how somebody received it bother me. I gave it. That's all that mattered. That's how we're supposed to live our life. God wants you to focus on the flowers, not the weeds. We've all done it, especially if you're a man. You went out and picked out, you know, dandelions or weeds and took them to your mom as flowers. And some of you, you men, you went to the cemetery and picked up the ones off the grave and gave them to your wife because you forgot her anniversary or whatever. It was just down the road, wasn't it, Brother Harry? Now, wait a minute. Some of you focus on, well, I don't like that one. How about you just thank God somebody cared enough to do something? No two people ever see things exactly the same way, but you can focus on the good and not be critical of what's different. Brother Hiles wrote a poem years ago. It's called Thank God for Clouds. Let me read it to you quickly. The evening skies were ablaze with sunset soft to tempt my gaze. The sun went to its ward. I watched as spirit raised to glad the gorgeous pomp as heaven had its changing of the guard. So soon I used my burdens there as footstools while my anxious care enjoyed a sweet release. I sat with reverent sacred hush, adorning him whose holy brush did paint this masterpiece. Next eve found burdens back on me, so I returned again to see God's sunset in the west. Methought that the selfsame place I could recapture all the grace of yesterday's sweet rest. No sapphire gleam as yesterday or topaz tint to light my way. Where there was as before, no diamond sparkled in soul's ray. The emerald isles had gone away, my burden did not soar. What's wrong, I asked, 'tis not the same, there's no rubies red with flame. Were mountain peaks to see? No clouds, no clouds, no clouds, no clouds. This is the change I cried aloud that made the beauty flee. The sun was bright as was before. It had no clouds on which to pour its luster from above. Then my father said to me, through clouds the rays I send to thee to show my heart of love. The clouds I send into your life, the tears, the pain, the hurt, the strife, are sent because I know when filtering clouds betroth the sun, when into light some dark is spun, the glare is changed to glow. You know, sometimes we complain about the clouds, but you watch a sunrise or a sunset, it's prettier when there's clouds. There's more color when there's clouds. Say, why? There's more color in your life when there's clouds in your life too. You need those clouds in life to show the beauty of the light. I must hurry, number six. Things that are of good report. The word good report means well spoken of or reputable. God wants us to be thinking about those things that have good reputation. There are people that will say, "Preacher, I need this kind of work done. Do you have somebody you recommend?" Yes, I do, and tell them I sent you. Brother Juan was telling me he was wanting a certain thing, and I said, "You can try one of two places, but either one, tell them I sent you." Brother Juan was there and pulled out a gospel tract and said, "Oh yeah, I've helped that fellow a couple times." And it wasn't, "Oh, that guy again." No, I've tried to build a good reputation. That's good report. The last speeding ticket I got was 31 years ago today on my way to my wedding. I've tried to drive the speed limit so that as a preacher, I have a good reputation. I try to keep the laws. As long as they're in accordance with the word of God, that when they tell me I have to shut my church because there's a virus, too bad, so sad. They didn't tell us to shut it, but even if they did, I'm staying open. Everybody doing okay? God wants us to only thinking about those things that have a good report. By the way, people who criticize don't have good reports. Some of you read the comments on products. Well, this has so many comments about it. Some of you don't even know who those comments came from. Most of the time, those are written by one person. They're called bots. And they'll write thousands of comments on one thing. So, well, this comes highly recommended. By whom? Have you talked to somebody that's actually had it? Well, this is what the report said. Okay, the report. Who wrote the report? Be careful about opinion polls. Opinions are like noses. Everybody's full of boogers and you pick which one you want. That's about all it is. Gossips don't have good report. Your enemies don't have good report. Quit wasting time finding out what they're thinking. Some of you spend time trying to investigate your enemy and you're investigating bad report. You know, I don't care what my enemies think right now. I don't care what they think tomorrow. I don't care what they thought yesterday. I can't control their thinking. I can control my living and my thinking. And I'm to live with good report. I don't try to figure out with whom someone I disagree with what they're thinking so I might win them. No, I'm going to keep believing the truth and preaching the truth, and they'll come to the truth eventually. Boy, that's a good statement. Okay, let's put the rubber down where it meets the road here. You have friends on social media you should never spend time with nor read their comments. I don't have social media. I don't plan on it. I have too many things to do in life than to sit down and try to figure out what everybody in the world's thinking and what time they had dinner and what they had for dinner and what it looked like and where they're going on vacation and when they went to the washroom and what they did while they were in the washroom and everything else that they put on social media. I get things sent to me by the thousands, these little mean things, and some of them are hilarious. It's great. I don't know how people have time to sit down and go through all these things. They just get sent to me and I flip them around when I think they're funny, but that's about it. Only have people in your social media that you would spend time with in person. If that's not someone you would spend time with in person, why do you stay in contact with them? Get rid of all contacts of people you would not spend time with in person. Then I think you're safe with your social media. Safer. Don't think about those who have hurt their reputation. I know preachers who have ruined their life and their ministry. I don't grieve over it. I'm not hurt by them. They've hurt themselves. They've hurt other people. I hurt for the people they hurt. But I'm not going to quit the ministry because somebody I knew 20 years ago that was a good preacher went awry and went the wrong direction. Now I'm all discouraged and I'm going to quit church. That's just bad thinking. You don't have to be someone's enemy. Just don't think about them. There are people who I love, people who I was dear friends with, who have changed their position doctrinally. I don't think about them. I'm not their enemy. If they called me today, I would do my best to help them, but I'm not going to spend time with them. I know they've changed. But I'm not going to be their enemy. I'm not going to sit here and tell you, oh, this person's filthy and vile and I hate that. No, 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 no. I don't give it any time. I have to finish. God says the recipe then is these six things. You have things that are true, things that are honest, things that are just, things that are pure, things that are lovely, things that are of good report. Now watch this. If there be any virtue, the word virtue there means power. If there be any praise, that means positivity. God says thinking on these categories will give you power and basically a positive outlook in everything you do in your thinking. God says if you'll focus on those six categories, it'll give you powerful thinking and it will give you a better outlook on everything in life. How? Thinking on things that are true, things that are honest, things that are just, things that are pure, things that are lovely, things that are of good report. You think on those six things, God says that will change your thinking and that will change your life. It'll give you power and it'll give you a good outlook on life. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. I got to shut it down. Maybe one of the most important things you've ever heard is that one thing right there. A recipe for good thinking.